الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما.
أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so to proceed and continue in that which we have been doing, walillah alhamd, for the past few weeks as it relates to the sharh of Umdatul Ahkam from the explanations of our ulama such as Ibn Uthaymeen, Al-Alama Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh. I'd like to say that it's a pleasure to be here with my brothers from Ahl Sunnah, brothers who we love for the sake of Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ikhlas and niyyah, to have sincerity in seeking ilm, and to seek ilm according to how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam told us to. And also we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us fiqh fi deen. As we know that the one without fiqh, there is no good for him. The one without fiqh and understanding of the deen, there's no good for him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqqihu fi ad-din." Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for, he gives him fiqh, he gives him understanding of the deen. And the mafhum al-mukhalafa, the inverse meaning is, whoever Allah does not want good for, he doesn't give him fiqh in the deen. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering and future gatherings, especially this week where, mashallah tabarakah wa ta'ala, we have ikhwa, tulab al-ilm, coming to visit here, like Al-Akh Abdi'ilah, and our beloved brother and elder, Abu Hakim, coming here to share that which that they've taken from the scholars. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the barakah and blessing and tawfiq to get close to him subhanahu wa ta'ala in seeking ilm and acting upon it. The hadith that we came up to, or we got up to, is the hadith an Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qal marra nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi qabarain faqala innahuma la yu'adhiban wa ma yu'adhiban fi kibir. أما أحدهما فكان لا يستتر من البول، وأما الآخر فكان يمشي بالنميمة، فأخذ بجريدة رطبة فشقهما نصفين، فغرز في كل قبر واحدة، فقلنا يا رسول الله لما فعلت هذا؟ قال لعله يخفف عنهما ما لم ييبسا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this hadith, which is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went past two graves. he went past two graves. And he said that verily these two are being punished. And they are not being punished for something that was difficult to leave. They are not being punished for something that was difficult to leave. As for one of them, he never used to prevent urine from soiling himself with urine. He didn't prevent himself from soiling himself with urine. As for the other, then he used to spread namima. He used to spread tales. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took a stick from a tree and he split it into two. And then he put one in one grave and one in the other. And then the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "O Rasulullah, why did you do that? Why did you put the stick there in the grave?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Maybe, perhaps, it would aid them in what? In the punishment being softened or lightened. In the punishment being lightened, just as long, as these this stick does not become dry or loses its moisture." As we do in the explanation of this of the hadith in Umdatul Ahkam, may Allah bless you all. We start off with the narrator of this hadith. We start off with the narrator of this hadith, the companion who narrated this hadith. And the companion is Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. He is Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. He's Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. And he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was from those that scrolled the Quran. He was from the scribes. He's from the scribes that wrote the Quran, lafdan. And he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made du'a for him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made du'a for Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allimhu al-kitab, allimhu al-kitab." Made du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah to give him knowledge of the Quran. For Allah to give him knowledge of the Quran. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also made other supplications for this illustrious companion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah." Oh Allah, teach him the wisdom, the hikmah. And that which we understood from this is also the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he, Abdullah ibn Abbas, the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to pass. And he was from the ulama of the companions at such a young age. He was from the ulama of the companions, and he gained a lot of ilm. And he gained a lot of ilm, and he was from those who was enthusiastic in seeking knowledge. He was from those who were enthusiastic in seeking knowledge, and he was from those who narrated abundant hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. And he sought ilm and taught ilm and spread da'wah until his death, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He died in Ta'if. He died in Ta'if in the year 68. He died in Ta'if in the year 68. Point number two, Mawdu' al-Hadith. As for the title or the topic of this hadith, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, I'm going to use predominantly today the explanation of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, because of time and so forth. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "Mawdu' al-Hadith, bayan uqubat al-Nammam, wa man la yastatir min bawlihi. Bayan uqubat al-Nammam, wa man lam yastatir min bawlihi, or la yastatir min bawlihi." And that is the clarification of the punishment, the clarification of the punishment or establishment of the punishment of the one that does namima, those that spread namima, and also the one that doesn't cover himself from being soiled, he doesn't protect himself from being soiled from urine, And you must remember, ya ikhwan, that we're doing Kitab al-Tahara. What we're doing here is Kitab al-Tahara, which is the chapter of purification. So this hadith, the main topic of this hadith is the uquba, is the punishment of the individual who does not prevent himself or protect himself from being soiled with urine after using the toilet. And also part of this hadith is the clarification of the punishment of the namam. Is the clarification of the punishment of the namam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we go to point number 3, which is the text of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innahu na'am." He said, "Innahuma yu'adhiban." After passing the graves, he said, "These two will be are being punished." And what is meant is not the grave, obviously, it's the individuals in the grave. The individuals are not mentioned in the hadith, but what is understood from the hadith is that those, the ones that are being punished, are the individuals in the graves. Yani the companions of that grave. Naam. And the next point we're going to say is the definition of namima. The definition of namima. The definition of namima, may Allah protect us all from it, is carrying tales from one person to another with the intent of causing corruption. Carrying tales from one person to another with the gharad, with the intent of causing fitna, trials, problems. This is the definition of namima, as is defined by the ulama such as Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and before him Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is the definition of namima. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'adhiban." Who can repeat the definition of namima for me? With the qasd or with the intent of causing problems between them. That's the definition of the ulama in general. Okay, but Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions it, inshallah. Okay, so la yu'adhiban. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are being punished. And la yu'adhiban, la is lam of tawqid. Lam of tawqid, which is the lam of emphasis. Which is the lam of emphasis, which is further emphasizing that these individuals in the graves are being punished for that which they have done. And this is from the Nabuwa. This is from the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La yastatir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yastatir." Ay la yatawqi. Or la yatawqa. Yani he didn't protect himself after using the toilet. He didn't protect himself from urine sprinkling on him. He didn't protect himself from urine sprinkling on him. As for the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he put the stick there, this is an issue which we're going to discuss now, inshallah ta'ala. Some people have said that this action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he put the stick from the tree on the grave, that this is an action that anyone can do. And some people who have ascribed themselves to ilm have stated that this is the case. But the correct opinion, and the opinion of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, is that this is specifically for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. That this is specifically for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam alone, for the following reasons. First reason is that if people believe by going to the grave that they can take flowers, or they put a stick on the grave, that means that they themselves are affirming that their person in the grave is being punished. So they are saying that their loved one is being punished. So it's a statement which is not befitting. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that it's from the unseen. It's from the ilm al-ghayb. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mursal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a rasul. He's a messenger who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ma yantiqu ish anil hawa in huwa illa wahyun yuha." He doesn't speak from his desires, but rather is a revelation revealed to him. Is a revelation revealed to him. That's number two. Number two is that it's from the unseen. And number one is what? That you are what? Affirming what? Punishment for the person. And you think you're doing something good for them. You think you're doing something good for them, but you are you and yourself claiming that they're being what?
Punished.
That they are being punished. And thirdly, this is imitating the Christians. This is imitating the Christians, as the Christians from their ibadah is to put flowers on graves. Is to put flowers on graves. Tayyib. So what are the three reasons why? What are the three reasons why that this action is only specific for the Prophet and it's not for the Muslims to do? They're affirming that the people in the grave are being punished. Second reason is that he's from the unseen. And the third reason that we shouldn't be done is imitating who? The Christian. And I add to that that this is a qiyas ma'al fariq. It's a qiyas ma'al fariq. And that is that you're making an analogy of two things that are not the same. You're making an analogy of two things that are not the same, and that is not correct. That's not acceptable. When I say you're making an analogy with two things that are not the same, you're making an analogy with yourself and who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you're not the same. So by claiming to do this and claiming that this is an action that you yourself can do, that this is al-qiyas ma'a al-fariq. And that is an analogy of two different things. And an analogy of two different things which is not acceptable. Which is not acceptable. Shaykh bin Thaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he then explains the general meaning of this hadith. Hadith. He says, Marra Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went through past two graves in Al-Baqi', which is in Medina. And he is said that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard sounds which indicate that what? That they are being punished. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was revealed, Allah revealed to him the reason why they were getting punished. And the reason that they were getting punished was number one, they didn't what? They didn't clean themselves. Oh, yani, they didn't prevent themselves from being soiled by their urine. And before that, they what? Spread namima. And from the rahmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he placed the stick on their graves. Again, that's from Allah. That's from the revelation to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for the punishment to be softened. Benefits from this hadith. The first benefit of this hadith is the importance of doing tahara. The importance of tahara. The importance of purification. The importance of cleansing oneself efficiently after using the toilet. The second benefit from this hadith, ثُبُوتُ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. Again, aqeedah. That which is established in this hadith is the affirmation of the punishment of the grave. Which is a refutation against the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila and some of the likes of Hizb ut-Tahrir. They claim that there is no punishment of the grave. And in this hadith is a clear proof which refutes that claim. The third benefit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show the punishment in the grave from whoever he wills. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show the punishment in the grave to whoever he wills, and that is he showed it to who? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The fourth benefit of this hadith is the caution of falling into namima, of spreading tail. The caution of spreading tails with the intent or from one individual to another with the intent of causing friction between them. With the intent of causing friction between them. And we have a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in Sahih Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna fil bayan la sihra, or sihra. Inna fil bayan la sihra. Inna fil bayan." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that verily in beautiful speech is sihr, like magic. That in beautiful speech is what? Magic. The ulama have two different opinions as it relates to this hadith. Some of the ulama have said that this hadith is a positive thing, meaning that some people are good at clarifying the truth. Some people are good at clarifying the truth. So the people could understand, and so the truth can reach their hearts and change their behavior from bad behavior to good behavior. Other ulama have explained that this hadith indicates the danger of the people of innovation, for example. In that the people of innovation, if have the ability of beautiful speech, that it could change one's heart. You can change one's heart. And likewise, what? Namima. And likewise, namima. It's like magic. It can change two people who love one another to becoming what? Enemies. By transmitting statements from one person to another with the intent of causing problems, it's like magic. It can change the affection that two people have for one another. The affection that two people have for one another. The next benefit that we can take from this hadith is the hirs of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the enthusiasm of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in finding out the wisdom behind the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is this taken from? Where do we find in this hadith the enthusiasm of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in wanting to find out the wisdom behind the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Naam, they asked him why he put it there. They asked him why he put it there. Naam. And Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he ends this hadith and he said that, like we mentioned, it is not permissible for the Muslim to try and imitate that action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is specific for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in putting a stick or so forth in an individual's grave with hope for the punishment of that individual if it is happening to be softened. This is from the khasa'is. This is from those things that are specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And that's the end of the chapter. And that's the end of the chapter. Now we do the next chapter, and that's Bab al-Siwak. Bab al-Siwak. Does anyone have any questions regarding the last hadith? This hadith, Bukhari Muslim. All of the narrations that we're doing are from where? Bukhari and Muslim. Apart from maybe 7 or 8 narrations in the whole book, not only from Sahih Muslim, only from Sahih Bukhari, but generally they're from both. Generally they are from both. In regards to one protecting yourself from urine, does this include wearing slippers when going to the toilet to make wudu? If the floor is full of urine and is going to get onto your clothes, then yes. If the floor is full of what? Urine. And your clothes will get soiled, then yes, you have to take the means in protecting oneself from urine. Now,
what are the means for protecting oneself from urine? What are the means?
The chapters that we've done before on the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would cleanse himself after urinating. Do those efficiently.
Also, is it allowed for a man to stand up and urinate?
Yes. The hadith thabit that Prophet ﷺ united to stand in now.
Is it better to sit down or to walk down there? How would you
Sorry, so you know there's urine there?
Yeah.
But then you don't know where the urine is, but you know the sandals had urine. No, but you're we're talking about your clothes that you're going to use to pray. Yeah. We're talking about the clothes that you're going to use to pray. If it's going to get soiled, your clothes, then you prevent it from being soiled. Because as regarding you praying, the issue of this hadith is about it affects the shurut al-salah. It affects the conditions of prayer. Okay? And if your clothes are soiled, it diminishes that. That's why it's so important.
Brother, what about the those ones who are standing ones? Can you find them at work or school? Or can you go in, or are you allowed to do it out,
in public?
Yeah, like in front of someone.
Okay, have we done this issue before, Ikhwan? Last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to use the toilet, and who came with him? I don't know if anyone was here. Anas ibn Malik, and who else? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. They came, okay, with a spear. Okay, they came with a spear, and what is known in that spear that there's a cloth, and they would hold the spear so that no one can see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam use the toilet. So you're not allowed, because you're supposed to cover your awrah. And that's taken from that hadith.
Barakallahu feek. What about holding a child in your lap and they urinate at you?
The child urinates at you?
Yeah, you have to preserve yourself, or it's just another thing.
If it's a child urinating at you, then you...
So you're not going to get punished?
No.
Up to
age? Huh? Up until they stops eating solids. When it starts eating solids and so forth. Okay, should we continue to the next hadith? Bab of Siwak. Inshallah, we're going to, in this hadith, in this chapter, the Bab of Siwak. We all know what Siwak is, yes? Is that thing tree made to take from the tree and it's used as what? Toothbrush. I can't even think of an English word for it. And it's not a toothbrush. Herbal brush, herbs. Naam. So it's the Bab al-Siwak. Okay, and in the Bab al-Siwak, Ikhwan, it's from Kitab al-Tahara. And in this chapter, we're going to have a few a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to deal with two narrations, inshallah, today. And next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll deal with the others, inshallah. The first hadith is an Abi Huraira. رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة. What the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the narration from Abi Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if it wasn't, I feared to hardship on my ummah, on my nation, I would have ordered them to use the siwak or miswak, to use the miswak before every salah, just before every salah. As for the narrator of this hadith, we've dealt with him before. On many occasions, Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, we mentioned that he was from the ulama of hadith. He's from the muhaddithun. He was the most narrator of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to write down the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he spent only 2 years with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He narrated over 5,000 narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there isn't a narrator from the companions that narrated more. We've dealt with him before. We continue, inshallah ta'ala. The mawdu' al-hadith. The topic of the hadith, Bayan Hukm al-Siwak inda Salah. The clarification of the ruling of Siwak, of using the Miswak. But in the hadith it mentions Siwak before the Salah. The clarification of the ruling of using Siwak before Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it relates to the text of this hadith, he says, Lawla. He says, Lawla. And this is harfu imtina li wujud. Lawla in Arabic language is harf imtina li wujud. And it is a preposition. It is a preposition that indicates the prevention of something because of the existence of something else. It is the preposition that indicates the prevention of something because of the existence of something else. And in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lawla." He used this preposition, "Lawla." And that is what? That because of the existence of hardship, it prevented him from making the siwak obligatory. Because of the presence of what? Hardship. It stopped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from making the use of the siwak before salah obligatory. La'amartu. And I would have made it obligatory if it wasn't from the existence of hardship. Something just came to me on the hadith that we mentioned before. But I'll mention it at the end, inshallah. Siwak. What the Prophet ﷺ mentioned was siwak, which is the actual noun, but what is intended is the action. Siwak is the noun, but what is intended is what? The action. Tasawwuk. Tasawwuk. The action of using the miswak. The action of using the miswak. Shaykh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, As-salah dhata sha'an kabir. He said that the prayer is of important station, or is an important issue. لِأَنَّهَا سِلَةٌ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَرَبِّهِ. Because the prayer is the link between the slave and his Lord. لِذَلِكَ وَجَبَتْ لَهَا طَهَارَةٌ مِنَ الْأَحْدَاثِ. And that is why it has been made obligatory to have purification from those things that nullify your purification. You need to purify yourself from those things that nullify the purification. وَكَانَ شَرْطًا فِي صِحَتِهَا. And it is a condition for the correctness of that salah, for the acceptance of that salah. وَمِن تَكْمِيلِ الطَّهَارَةِ السِّوَاقِ. And from the perfection, not from this condition, from the perfection of at-tahara, from the perfection of purification, is using what? Siwak. Using the miswak. It's using the miswak. لِأَنَّهَا تَنْظِيمُ لِلْفَمْ. Because it cleans the mouth. مِمَّا عَلَّقَ بِهِ مِنَ الْأَوْسَاخِ. From those things, those dirty things that may have entered the mouth. قَدْ تَحَمَّلَ رَوَائِهَا كَرِيهَا. And some, it might have a bad smell. And the mouth occasionally has what? Bad smell. So from the perfection of tahara, not from the obligation of tahara, from the perfection of tahara is to use the miswak. Ikhwan, do you use the miswak with your right hand or your left hand? The ulama did qiyas. Naam, that's what they did. They didn't just leave it. They did qiyas. Some of the ulama, they say that when you're using the miswak, if your intent is to follow the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you use your what? From that bab, using your right hand. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it wasn't for the hardship on my ummah, I would order them to what? To use siwak in the... It means that it was something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged greatly. So from the bab of following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, then use your right hand. But here we mention also that sometimes there's dirt in the mouth. And if you just want to get rid of the dirt, then you use your what, ikhwan? Left hand. Use your left hand. And this is min bab istihbab. And this is a preferred. It's not a sin if you use one or the other. It's not a sin if you use one or the other. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Islamic legislation has placed a lot of emphasis on salah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the use of siwak in the kulli salah. And here the Abu Huraira, as Shaykh al-Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala said, He said, Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه يحدث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه أخبر أنه لولا خاف أو لولا خوف وجود مشقة, that if it wasn't for the fear of hardship, with the fear of the presence of hardship على أمته, upon his ummah, لأمرهم أمرا لازما, لأمرهم أمرا لازما, he would have given them a command, a strict command. He would have given them a strict command, so then the siwak would have been what? Huh? Wajib. It would have been obligatory. And what's the definition of wajib? What's the definition of wajib? Not the result of wajib, ikhwan. Remember. What's the definition of wajib? Ma amara bihi shari'u ala wajhi ilzam. Remember, that's the definition of wajib, ikhwan. There's a difference. The definition of wajib, of obligatory, is that which the shari', Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded with obligation. That which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded with what? Obligation. Ma amara bihi ash-shari'u ala wajhi ilzam. But is this ilzam here? Ilzam means obligation. Is it obligation in this hadith? It's emphasized, sir. So then the definition of this is the ruling of this is mustahab. Is that is mustahab? Yani it's preferred. And the definition of mustahab is ma, is it a command? Ma amara bihi shari' ala ghayr al-ilzam. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded with not being what? Obligatory or compulsion. Without what? Compulsion. So therefore the miswak is under this. It's mustahab. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said lawla. And what does lawla mean, ikhwan? Harf. Lawla. Harf imtinali. Liwujud, which is a preposition also used, something is prevented because of the existence of something else, and that existence here, ikhwan, is the mushakka, and the difficulty on the ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Benefits of this hadith. The benefits of this hadith shows the emphasis on using the miswak before salah. It's not obligatory, but there's emphasis. And it's mustahab of using miswak in the obligatory salah. Only, ikhwan? Is it only the obligatory salah? Shamsi, is it only obligatory salah? A su'al that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, it's mustahab, it's preferred to use the miswak only for salat of farida. Why? Why is it for every salah? Because the hadith said so. Because the Prophet said every prayer. Whether it's been obligatory prayer, sunnah prayer, night prayer, as you soon see. Umum. Kulli salah. Every salah, even janazah, because of the word kul. Every salah, every single salah is preferred that you use the miswak before it. May Allah give us the tawfiq to practice this amazing sunnah. And we'll deal with that inshallah after the lesson, inshallah. Taib, benefits of this hadith. And that is the care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his nation. The rifq and the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his nation. In that, he was concerned that if he made using the miswak before every salah, that it will become what on them? Huh? Hard. Huh? And because of his rahmah for his ummah, he didn't make it obligatory. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The next benefit we can take from this hadith, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَمْرَ بِشَيْءٍ فَهُوَ لَازِمٌ إِلَّا أَنْ يَدُلَّ الدَّلِيلَ عَلَى أَنَّهُ تَتَوَّعُ. That's taken from this hadith. And this is from the usul of fiqh, benefit in this hadith. And that is that when the origin is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands the ummah to do something, it is what? In its origin, it is obligatory. It is what? Obligatory. إِلَّا لِوُجُودِشْ إِمْتِنَاءِ. Or if there is something that moves it away from that obligation, a proof that moves it away from that obligation. Is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanding us to use miswak in this hadith? Yes or no? Is he commanding us to use? Is it from the sunnah to use miswak? So it's a command then, isn't it? It's a command, sir. But is it an obligatory command? Do we have proof of that? Why? Because of low? Low la. Because of low? La. So the principle is here. And that is that any command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we find in the hadith, that we find in the sunnah, its origin is that it indicates what? Obligation. It indicates obligation. Yani you have to do. Except if there is a proof to remove it from the state of obligation to it, for it to be what? Mustahab. If there is no proof, it remains wajib. And in this one hadith, we have both. In this one hadith, we have both. And that's from the ilm of usul. And that's from the ilm of usul, showing you the beauty of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next benefit from this hadith is the high station of the prayer in Islam. It's the high station of the prayer in Islam. Why? We have been encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to use what? Miswak. When? Before what? Every single salah. And this shows the high station of what? Huh? Salah. It shows the high station of the prayer, in that for such an act, for you to have to, or you should, I should say, use the miswak to clean your teeth and your mouth before it, it shows the importance of that action. And that is a salah. And that is a salah. And that is the end of the hadith, of this amazing hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we have time for one more? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inda. In the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said inda, which is just before. Yeah, so your mouth is fresh for salah. Before. Fresh. Alright then, Ikhwan. Inshallah, we'll leave this hadith. We'll leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala. Huh? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi sahbihi ajma'in.